You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound, become a Cleveland Browns season ticket member today. Secure the best seats at the best prices with flexible payment plans available. Don't miss the excitement at First Energy Stadium this fall with home matchups against the Broncos, 49ers, Cardinals, Redskins, Steelers, Bengals, Ravens, and more. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 for more information. That's 440-824-3434. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, wrapping up our first hour here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Again, the big story today, Robert Kraft saying the Patriots will not pursue an appeal against the New England Patriots. Speculation running rampant that is because there's been a back-channel deal already to make sure that the Tom Brady punishment is reduced significantly.
Yeah, you know who's upset? I think Rex Ryan's really upset right now. Just reading some of those articles, if those are passing across his table, because I just think of how competitive Rex Ryan is and how much he... I hate is the wrong word, despises the Patriot way, that he, you know, really thought he was going to have that Buffalo Bills team out to a head start, you know, that and handicapped four games, you know, for the Patriots to be Brady-less, that he could get the Bills out, get them to 3-1, 4-0, regardless of who they play, and really have their you know, a grasp at least a quarter way into the season on the division.
That's what he was certainly hoping for, but I don't know if he's going to get it. And many people did say the Bills became the favorites to win that division once that news was handed out. Now, Greg Bedard tweeting out just now was told by a high-ranking NFL source that Kraft's decision to stand down does not include a deal on Brady. Surprising to me, he said.
You're talking back-channel NFL.
They're saying that that does not include a deal for Brady. But of course, that's what they're going to say.
I just think that anybody can speculate about anything. But it makes a lot of sense for him to take much more than a slap on a wrist. And he's going to get made up for, you know, he's going to bat for the NFL, which he represents as one of their 32 owners.
Sure.
And also in this case, he's going to bat for one of his players.
I believe that's exactly what
around the back.
He's going to come out the side hatch right there.
There he is.
Looking to get that for you. Paul Kruger, again, coming off of his best season as a member of the Browns. I think it's going to be very, very good for Nate Orchard to have a guy like Paul Kruger teaching him how to play that rush linebacker spot. I think that he's not a guy that's as comfortable dropping back. So I think he's going to get more reps in the Kruger side of things, in that rush linebacker side, or they'll just throw him over there and say, listen, we're coming.
Yeah.
We're both coming.
Yeah.
And you're going to see him get to the quarterback.
I think it's going to be a great room for Orchard to be a part of. You've got the pass rusher, the 95% rushing guy in Paul Kruger, and you've got the 50-50 guy in Mingo. And I think also, too, not only does Kruger and Orchard have that Utah connection, which, you kind of link them together now.
Yep.
But I would hope that Mingo would be able to walk him through some of the struggles that he had from being a hand-on-the-ground guy, you know, to learning to play out of a two-point stance and just how to enter into the league and make a difference and give him some of the tricks of the trade that he's learned in now 2.5 seasons going in. And in doing so, I think, Barkevious Mingo should not feel threatened that he's going to lose his job, at least not this year. I don't think Paul Kruger should, as we heard it in his comments. So this could be like the three amigo. We both do, Kruger and Mingo are two different players, and I think Orchard's going to be split right down the middle. He's going to be able to rush the passer. He's going to be asked to drop more. But, hearing the Nate Orchard comments, post-draft and throughout the last couple of weeks is the dude wants to, get after the quarterback. That's all that matters.
Good. That's all that matters. In this league, that is the most important thing. You can make a lot of money
just doing that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Without covering anybody.
No, get to the quarterback. Get him on the ground. And, Kruger often rushes against right tackles. Now, Orchard in college moved all around, but rushed predominantly against left tackles. So he has that natural complement right now to where Paul Kruger's been coming from recently. Let's go to John in Dallas now. John, welcome to CBD.
Hey, listening to you guys talk about Brady, it sounds like you guys are almost taken up for him. I mean, I think the public perception is he's a flat-out liar, and the Patriots are liars, and I don't know how liars can benefit.
No, we're not taking up for Tom Brady. What we're saying is it makes a whole lot of sense based on what the owner of the Patriots just did in not appealing his suspension for the NFL through back channels have had conversations to reduce Brady's suspension via the appeal that he's already
ordered. Matt, if you were the owner of the Patriots, would you have done this? And do you guys honestly think Brady had nothing to do with this?
No, in fact, I've said all along that I think Brady deserved to be punished. I thought the punishment on the Patriots was too much.
Oh, okay. Nathan, I misunderstood you. You said that they're going to sit down with Brady again and ask him for the phone.
That's what Mike Florio said. Mike Florio was speculating on, he said the cynic in him is speculating on how he thinks this is all going to play out now. I think
if he doesn't turn the phone over, they're going to reduce it?
I think what he's saying is a lot of the NFL people that I follow on Twitter right now, the lead NFL writers, are speculating that the reason that Robert Kraft stood down like this is because he has some type of an agreement in place that they're going to reduce the Brady suspension, and that was one way that he thought that might happen is that, they say, okay, we'll give his phone. Oh, now we got his phone, and, now we can move on, and we're going to reduce suspension. So that's just speculation. Go Browns is the most important part of the phone call, and that is absolutely correct. Yes, go Browns, the Cleveland Browns. Texans owner Bob McNair arriving, saying Kraft dropping the fight was, quote, the smart thing to do, and he's not surprised that he always does what is best for the league. So now we can turn our attention from Deflategate to extra point rules.
Yes.
That's what it's going to be
all
about.
Which we'll probably know by tomorrow. I think they vote tomorrow morning.
If you were a player, what would you want to have happen? You are a player. What would you want? Would you want it to stay exactly as it is? Would you want to move it back to the 15 and keep the 2 point at the 2? Or do you want to move it back to the 15 and move the 2 point to the 1?
I was on Pro Football Talk and reading the article that they wrote about the rules committee, hearing it today and then voting on it most likely tomorrow. And at the bottom, they had their poll of all three options or leave it the same, and I voted to leave it the same.
Because as a player, if they move it to the 1, that's going to create a lot of different scenarios and a lot of more plays, potential for injuries for players, a lot more physical plays where you're just getting into the scrum. If you look at moving it back to the 15, you're talking about changing the extra point from about a 99% success rate to something that will be about a 91-92% success rate. So it does put a little bit of a pressure on the kicker. I'm fine with that. If you want to raise the importance of kickers, I'm okay with that. I think keeping the 2-pointer at the 2 makes sense. But as a fan, there is some excitement if people are going for 2 every single play. It just changes the way that football is scored, really.
It does, but it's as I said yesterday, all it's going to take is the National Football League and their fan base in the market that it happens to lose a Shady McCoy on an extra point going for 2, or Chip Kelly going for 2 and losing Bradford or Sanchez or the Pittsburgh Steelers going for 2, and we hopefully lose Ben Roethlisberger. You know what I mean? It's going to take that one time for a fan base in that market first and foremost, because they're to be up in arms, and then nationally, it's just going to steamroll downhill to think about they're going to talk to. Then it's like you got them impacting what a coach is going to do, because it's a big ball of wax that I just don't even really want to open right now. I just think leave it as it is, make it the boring play. You got the given point. And also, instead of playing percentages and being so analytical, if you're that much better and you have the greatest play, in your playbook, come on out and run it anytime you want and take those 2 points. They've been out there.
Let's go.
Come get them.
Come and get them. Yes, certainly a big interesting part of what's going to happen at this NFL meeting will be the announcement of whatever vote and the ultimate decision on what they go with here as it relates to extra points. I think if they want to just get rid of it as a football play, Peter King was talking about when you have the extra point, you come out, you kick the extra point, then you go to a timeout. Then you come back, then you kick off, and most kickoffs are touchbacks. Then there's a timeout. So he said it creates these periods in the NFL games for viewers that are, certainly not that exciting. You could go 5 minutes without any football action whatsoever.
Right, but as a player, you enjoy those timeouts in some cases, because if a team steamrolls down the field, or scores very quickly, you have to go back on the field. You enjoy those TV timeouts. You enjoy those breaks sometimes. You get a little bit of extra 2-3 minutes on the sideline. And also too, the same way we saw the review for the Cleveland Cavaliers with time being put back on, it gives you an opportunity to spend a little bit more time with your coach. You get to evaluate the personnel. The chess game that happens from sideline to sideline in a football game happens in those breaks when there's not actually a play going on, when the camera's not going. There's a lot of coaching and a lot of, again, a chess match is going on between both sidelines.
And that's what it is about, and it'll add another wrinkle there. It'll be very interesting to see what happens as well. And by the way, if this is really what ends up happening in the Wells report, if let's say it ends up being, think about all the money the NFL spent.
$5 million?
$5 million just to do this.
Would you like to be that firm?
Yes. Yes. Yes, I would. Yes, I would.
Take a little.
All right, when we come back, we're going to kick off hour number two here of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford with Joel Corey, the former NFL agent. He's going to dive deep with us on the Tashaun Gibson situation. What's going on? Why is he not here? What leverage does he have? What does Joel think Gibbs' contract should look like? We will let you know when we come back. 216-578-0850. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.